Kaya magandang umaga muli sa lahat. Hayaan niyo munang batiin ko si Lois ng maligayang kaarawan. Happy birthday. Birthday din ni Ian kahapon. Pag-araw ng birthday, we both remember the past and look to the future. Ginugunita natin ang nakalipas at inaasam natin ang hinaharap. Pagdating sa nakalipas, yan ang sinasabi natin, hindi na natin mapapalitan. It's something fixed. It's something that is done away with. You may regret it, you may enjoy it and relish it, but you cannot change it. Pagdating naman sa hinaharap, yan ang hindi natin madidetermine, bagamat gumagawa tayo ng iba't ibang mga paraan para kung sakali ay ma-control natin ang hinaharap, gaya ng mga nakita natin nung nakaraan nating pag-aaral, ang iba ginagamit ang occult, gaya ng pamahiin, ng feng shui o fortune telling. Ngunit hindi na talaga natin makokontrol yan. May mga paraan para kung kahit paano ay magawa natin na matingnan ano ang sakaling hinaharap, ginagamit yan sa siyensya, maging sa ekonomiya, isang kailangan natin pagdating sa ginagamit natin ang economic conjecture and prediction sa mga bagay na ikabubuti natin. The Philippine Stocks Exchange was one of the more better performing stocks organizations in the world nung nakaraang taon. At kung gusto nyong kumita, isang magandang paraan ay stocks. So, pero pagdating sa stocks, isa sa mga katawagan ng stocks ay futures. Dahil tumitingin ito sa anong mangyayari sa stocks. In one bit, you may suddenly become wealthy. In just one bit ay maaring bagsak ang presyo ng isang stocks at maging mawalan ka. So it can spell fortune or loss, but it's about the future. Pero pagdating sa future, walang mas mahalaga na future na alamin natin kaysa sa usapin ng kaligtasan. Dito nga marami ang nasa peligro ng pag-aanilangan, hindi nila malaman kung anong itatawag nila sa kanilang sarili. Are they lost? Are they saved? Iba, nakita natin noong nakaraan, para sa kanila pagdating sa usapin ng kaligtasan, ang kanilang sagot ay, that is something uncertain. So we dwell or we live in uncertainty when it comes to salvation. At sa pinag-aralan natin, dalawang uri yan. Ang kanilang uncertainty is something that does not interest them. Para sa kanila, wala ang usapin ng kaligtasan. They may be skeptic or infidel or agnostic. Pero for them, salvation is uncertain. And in fact, they're not interested at all. Pero sa mga religious, siyempre gusto nila ng usapin ng kaligtasan. They are interested, but they are also uncertain. Para sa kanila, usapin ng kaligtasan, lalo na ang mga naniniwala sa kaligtasan by works, by morality. That means it is something that first you need to finish your life before you can make some evaluation kung ikaw ay maliligtas nga o hindi. Pero para sa kanila, uncertain until you die when you will be evaluated. Others are more open-ended. Ang sinasabi nila, ipaubayan na lang natin sa Diyos yan. Hindi natin malalaman dito. At para sa kanila, it is not something that is to be exclusively ascertained by being Christian or not. And of course, that is not the teaching of the scriptures. So, tinignan natin ito sa usapin naman ng kaligtasan. Why do we say that salvation can be assured para sa isang Kristiyano? Binigyang diin natin na hindi ito dahil sa kung ano tayo, mas magaling ba tayo, mas nalalaman natin. It is because of what God did. In other words, something happened in history. In just the same way that we discuss a nation's status because of history, anong nangyari sa kanya, hindi na alam natin, sigurado tayo, hindi na tayo sa ilalim ng Espanya dahil may nangyari ng himagsikan, may nangyari sa kasaysayan. Hindi na tayo sa ilalim ng Amerika dahil nagkaroon na tayo ng kalayaan. So, nangyari sa kasaysayan. So, why do we say that a person can be sure of salvation is first and foremost because of something that happened in history. And that is when Jesus Christ died, yung dapat ay mangyari pa lang sa hinaharap, the final judgment wrath, yung poot ng Diyos sa final judgment, which is future on the last day, through the Lord Jesus Christ, it was poured on the cross. Ibig sabihin, yung dapat sa hinaharap pa, nangyari na sa kasaysayan. Ibinuhos ang puot ng Diyos sa kasalanan sa pagkakahalili ni Jesucristo para sa makasalanan ay ibinuhos sa Kanya ang puot ng Diyos at ang kahulugan niyan para sa mga mananampalataya ni Jesucristo, mga kalakip sa Kanya, yung puot na karapat dapat sa kanilang kasalanan, wala na, ibinuhos na kay Kristo. Kaya ang present status nila, no more wrath for believers, and therefore, there can be assurance now. Assurance is not something we hope for in the future. Assurance is something we can possess now because of what Jesus Christ did. Dahil sa ginawa ni Jesucristo, meron ng present status ang believer. At ang present status na yan ay ang tinatawag natin na assurance of salvation. Meron na tayong katiyakan ng kaligtasan kung tayo ay na kay Jesucristo dahil sa ginawa niya. Kaya sigurado na tayo sa hinaharap natin. And that is what we call assurance of salvation. At yung assurance of salvation, nakita natin, is the interplay of several factors. At ang pinakauna at ang dapat unahin is because of the gospel merits of Christ. Kaya priority ang Panginoong Jesucristo. Pag tinatanong tayo, ba't kasigurado sa kaligtasan mo, ang una nating sagot lagi ay dahil sa kay Jesucristo, yung kanyang merit sigurado, yung kanyang ginawa sigurado. Dahil kapag umasa ka sa gawa mo, wala kang katiyakan. Kapag umasa ka sa iglesia mo, wala kang katiyakan. Ang katiyakan ay doon sa ginawa ni Jesucristo. Pero mula sa ginawa ni Jesucristo, merong interplay o pagkilos ng iba't ibang mga sangkap na maaring magpalago sa iyong katiyakan o ang kawalan nito ay magpalabo sa iyong katiyakan. Ano ang mga factors na yan? Sinabi ko sa inyo last week, I will just put them forward to you without elaborating. We will elaborate them sa dalawang problema na titingnan natin ang una ngayon. Ang una ay ang faith in gospel promises. That's one factor. Ang mga pangako ng Ebanghelyo ang maari nating panghawakan. At makikita natin dito, assurance is objectively focused. Huwag muna yung nasa iyo, kundi yung nasa labas mo. Mga pangako ng Ebanghelyo. Pero kasama rin ang mga ebidensya ng mga biyaya, mga totoong kumikilos ang Espiritu sa iyo, ay makikita yung ebidensya ng biyaya. So there is a subjective affirmation. Assurance is subjectively affirmed. At ikatlo, assurance is by the testimony of the Spirit, it is spiritually witnessed. Kaya yan ang mga kumikilos upang ang ating katiyakan ay lumago o kung mawala ang mga yan, lalabo ang ating katiyakan. Ngayon, tingnan natin ang dalawang pangunahing problema pagdating sa katiyakan ng kaligtasan. Ang una na titingnan natin ngayon ay ang tinatawag na presumption, pagpapalagay. Pagpapalagay na walang batayan. Presumption is defined sa Encarta Dictionary, something believed without actual evidence. So naniniwala silang sila ligtas, pero wala silang ebidensya. At pagdating sa usapin ng kaligtasan, believing that one is saved on false ground. Malaking problema ito, pero napakalawak na problema ito sa mga maraming nag-aangkin na Kristiyano ngayon. Inaangkin nila na sila ay mananampalataya, ligtas na kay Jesucristo, pero kapag suriin, wala doon ang katotohanan. At maliwanag ang mga babala ng kasulatan na maaring mangyari ito. It is possible for a person to presume he is saved on false ground. And scriptures warn us repeatedly about that. Nung panahon ni Jeremias, ito ang naging mensahe ng mga bulaang propeta. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So binibigyan sila ng pagpapalagay ng katiyakan, may kapayapaan tayo, yun ang mensahe nila. Pero sa katotohanan, walang batayan. They have no real peace, and yet they believed that they are in peace. Meron ding babala ang Panginoon dyan. Sa Matthew 7:22, may mga taong sa panahon daw ng paghahatol, ang kanilang ipagsisigawan, Panginoon, may mga ginawa kami para sa iyo. And Jesus will deny them. So here are people who were convinced that they should belong to the final state of the righteous, But they would not. So isipin nyo na lang yung pagiging, I mean, yung kagimbal-gimbal na resulta niyan sa mga taong itong buong-buo ang kanilang paniniwala, pero hindi pala totoo. Hindi sila kabilang sa mga matuwid. At meron ding babala si Pablo dyan, Galatians chapter 6, 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So dito makikita natin ang maraming babala ng banal na kasulatan na maaring mangyari ito. And in our confession of faith, kinilala ito. Our confession of faith warns against such people who have a presumption without ground. Sa 1689 Confession of Faith, may tinukoy doon na temporary believers and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God instead of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish. So may tinawag na temporary believers, ay bata yan sa parable ng sower and the soils. May binanggit doon na seed sown in thorny grounds. At ang sinabi sa interpretation ni Jesus, these are those who believe for a while. So parang may pananampalataya sila, pero pansamantala lang hanggat maganda yung resulta sa kanila. Pero pag dumating na raw yung mga pagsubok, mga kahirapan, umaayaw na sila. So these are the temporary believers and then unregenerate men. So anong dahilan itong usapin ng sa eternal salvation? Nakita natin, nandun yung uncertainty ng iba. Ang problemang tingnan natin ngayon ay presumption. What is the reason for this presumption? Tatlo ang dahilan. Tingnan muna natin yung dalawa at mas tututukan natin yung ikatlo. Dahil sa aking palagay, ito ang pinakamasidhi na dahilan o sanhi ng presumption. Pero yung una is because of deceitful heart. Talagang mandaraya yung ating puso. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Kaya isang ibig sabihin niya, yung mga nagsasabi, eh dama ko sa puso ko, malapit ako sa Diyos. Eh mag-iingat tayo sa mga ganong pag-aangkin na dahil sa ramdam nila sa puso nila, lalo na sa ating panahon. Whatever is in your heart, whatever is in your heart, that is the truth. Yung merong pang-awit yan, he lives, you ask me why, I know he lives within my heart. Well, that does not give you the basis of assurance tungkol lang sa iyong puso because the heart is deceitful. Mag-ingat tayo sa mga ganyang pagtitiyak ng sarili dahil may kapayapaan siya, dahil ramdam niya sa puso niya, malapit siya sa Diyos. Remember, the heart is deceitful. Now, another is because of deceiving teachings. Eh, maliwanag ang babala ng Panginoon sa mga bulaang guro na dahil sa kanila, nasa malapad silang pintuan, malapad ang kanilang daanan, ibig sabihin madali. And these are the teachers and preachers who are popular, they are charismatic, they are sought after, and that's because they have a message that panders to what people like to hear about themselves. Yung very popular ngayon na purpose-driven life, kung suriin nyo yan, napakaganda ng mga sinasabi, kahit sino ang magbasa niyan, they will feel good about themselves. And that's the net result. And this is the kind of teaching that will make people feel assurance based on false teaching. Maliwanag ang mga babala. Dahilan sa ating deceitful heart, meron siyang hardening effect. Sabi ng Hebreo, walang sino mo sa inyo ang papagmatigasin ang pagiging madaya ng kasalanan. Yan ang ginagawa ng kasalanan, daya. Ano ang pandaraya? Pandaraya, gaya ng Globe Asiatic, magkakaroon ka raw ng bahay. Binigay nila ang kanilang mga kayamanan. Ang bahay, wala. Yan ang daya. Binibigyan ka ng paniniwala, pagkatapos wala pala. At dahil yan sa kasalanan. And isa ring dahilan ay sapagkat ayaw natin ng katotohanan. Yun daw, man of sin, kumikilos na ngayon. At anong dahilan na nadaraya sila, napapahamak, sapagkat tumanggi silang ibigin ang katotohanan upang sila'y maligtas. In other words, they are not after the truth. They are after the feeling. They are after the peace of mind or assurance of blessing rather than the truth. At kapag hindi tayo patungkol sa katotohanan, ay madali tayong madaraya. Kaya yung dalawang mga dahilan na lumalawak ang presumption among professing Christians is because of a deceiving heart, deceitful heart, and deceiving teachings. But if you ask me, it is the third cause that is the real source of so much false assurance or presumption today. And it is because of decisionistic gospel. Decisionistic gospel is that which gives assurance because of a certain formula made or done by those who hear this message. Watch this. Benihin.
Jesus Christ is my Savior. God Almighty is my Father. The Holy Spirit, my Comforter. I no longer belong to Satan. I belong to Jesus forever. And I proclaim right now, I'm born again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. And I pray right now, blessed Lord, anoint them that they might live the Christian life with power and victory in the name of Jesus. God's people said amen.
Amen.
Now look at me all over here, eye to eye, everyone here. You've just prayed the most important prayer you'll ever pray in your life. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin, young man, every sin, my friend, every sin you've ever committed has just been wiped away by the blood of the Lamb. And from now on, He will begin to change your life and change your heart. From day to day, you'll see God working His mighty wonders in you.
Okay, so nakita nyo, this is just an example, and I've been dealing with this for more than 3 decades now, but it has never been something that has desensitized me. It always grieves me to find people give such assurance to so many, and they swallow it hook, line, and sinker as though that is it. So what is wrong with this? Well, let's compare yung kanilang ginagawang evangelism with biblical evangelism. So biblical evangelism as against decisionistic evangelism. Anong ginagawa ng biblical evangelism? It preaches law and gospel. Dahil law will expose your sin, gospel is that which remedies sin. So merong pagngangaral ng kabuuan ng mensahe na pinapakita ang pagkakasala mula sa batas at ang ebanghelyo ng Panginoon, at ang magiging resulta niya ay conviction, sumbat ng Espiritu sa kalooban at pagkahikayat sa ebanghelyo, conviction and persuasion. Now, just as you have seen, what does decisionistic evangelism do? Well, it is a shortened formula. Binigyan ka ng ipananalangin mo at ng mga masasabing nasa iyo na, at ang resulta, assent, meaning pumayag ka, sumang-ayon ka, at gumawa ka ng desisyon. There and then, you made a decision, and the decision is repeat someone's prayer, then receive someone's assurance. And again, another way of contrasting this, in biblical evangelism, it is the Spirit who convicts. Hindi ito gawain ng makabagbag damdamin na tugtugin, musika o boses ng tao. It is the Spirit who convicts, and it is the Spirit who regenerates. And when the Spirit does that, The sinner will call without need of dictation. Hindi mo kailangang diktahan siya ng kanyang idadasal. Sapagkat kung galing sa Espiritu, ang Espiritu mismo ang magbibigay sa kanya ng pagtawag sa tagapagligtas. There is no need to dictate. But in decisionistic evangelism, as you have seen, there was a dictated prayer, and then it is man himself gives the assurance. Nakita natin kanina, the preacher gave the assurance. Again, wala pong question dito sa sinseridad ng mga ngaral at ng mga nakikinig. We are not imputing any wrong motive on their part. Let's just assume they were sincere. But still, the method is what we are putting into examination. Sinusuri natin. Yan ang nangyari. Dinikta ang panalangin at pagkatapos, ang taong mismo ang nagbigay ng pagtitiyak. And what happens here is in decisionistic evangelism, may naliligtas ba? Yes. We are not denying that. Why? Because God can sovereignly bless His gospel truth. Sabihin natin may nabanggit siya doon na katotohanan at may nabanggit siyang katotohanan. At ginamit ng Diyos yun para sa isang makasalanan na nakikinig doon at sa kanyang soberanong biyaya, yun ang katotohanan, kailangan ng makasalanan na yun. Will he be saved? Yes, in spite of the method, God can sovereignly bless His truth. Even when wrapped in error, God can bless it and praise His name. He can save sinners even in such an atmosphere of decisionism. However, the problem is because decisionistic evangelism is reduced to formula decision, we cannot avoid also the conclusion that many of those who were there simply went through the motion of repeating the prayer, then receiving the assurance, and I say from experience, observation, and also scientific studies done comparatively by people who have observed this, there are more who fall into false conversion. Ngayon, isipin natin, yung mga maliligtas yan basta ipangaral mo ang mensahe. Pero, anong gagawin mo sa maraming nadaya na dahil ginawa nila yung formula, ay ligtas na sila. In biblical evangelism, there is maximum teaching of gospel truths. And because maximum truth, God can use more truth for true conversion. Meron bang false conversion in biblical evangelism? Yes, because man is a sinner and the heart is deceitful. It happens, but because there is a maximum of teaching, false conversion is minimized. Because we do not reduce it to a formula. Yan ang nangyayari sa decisionistic evangelism. What presumption disregards? So pupunta tayo sa factors of assurance na nawawala dahil sa ganitong decisionistic formula ay dalawang sangkap. Yung dalawang factors na sinabi natin kailangan in the interplay of assurance. What are those? Evidence of spiritual graces and the testimony of the Spirit. Pag sinabi nating evidence of spiritual graces, kapag kumilos na totoo ang banal na Espiritu sa atin, magkakaroon ng ebidensya at ang testimony of the Spirit, sinasabi na ang Espiritu ang siyang kumikilos upang magkaroon tayo ng katiyakan sa pamagitan ng kanyang patotoo sa ating Espiritu. Sabi ng Romans 8, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So sino raw nagpapatotoo na tayo ay anak ng Diyos? Hindi ang mga ngaral. Sa nakita nating video kanina, yung preacher ang nagsabi sa kanila dahil pinanalangin niyo ang pinakamahalagang panalangin sa inyong buhay, lahat ng inyong kasalanan. Siya nagsabi nun, all your sin have been wiped away. You are now children of God. Siya nagsabi, ang sabi ng ating talata, ang magsasabi niyan, ang Espiritu. Sa ating Espiritu, which means this is internal testimony. This is internal witness sa atin. At ang pinaka-ebidensya niya na the Spirit is testifying to our spirit, anong sabi niyan? We cry out, Abba, Father. So the cry, Abba, Father, is the testimony of the Spirit. Kapag nagkaroon tayo ng disposition sa ating Diyos na siya ang ating Ama, hindi na sinabi sa atin ng mga ngaral o ng soul winner, kundi sa patotoo ng Espiritu, binigyan tayo ng Espiritong mapalapit sa Diyos bilang ating Ama. Yung Abba is a title of endearment by a child to his father. Tayo, tinatawag naman natin yung father natin, hindi ng father o ama. May tawag tayo sa kanya, which is our title of endearment. Sa Aramaic, yun ay Abba. Kaya Abba Father. Sa atin siguro, daddy, papa, tatay. But we call him with a title which is something of our right to our father. And this is the disposition, ito na yung kalooban na ipinagpapatotoo ng Espiritu sa ating Espiritu. Ang tawagin natin siyang Ama. So Spirit testimony, but also evidences of grace. May ebidensya dapat sa iyong buhay. So sa mga pagsubok halimbawa ni John, nakita na natin to last week, di ba? Pinag-iba natin, we know and we know that. Say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. So isang pagsubok, nagbago ba ang saloobin mo sa kasalanan? Kung wala pa rin saysay sa iyo ang kasalanan, hindi ka totoo. Samantalang sa isang totoo, nagbago ang kanyang saloobin sa kasalanan. Gusto niyang ipahayag at makaranas ng kapatawaran. Isa pa sa kautusan ng Diyos. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in Him. Again, pinag-iiba. May sumusunod, may hindi sumusunod. Ang hindi sumusunod is a liar. Now, does that mean perfect obedience? No. But it means sincere and serious, seeking to obey the commandments of the Lord. At isa pa, pagdating sa fellowship, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Anong pinapakita niyan? May sinasabi siyang nag-aangkin pero hindi totoo. At para maging totoo, ito ang ebidensya. Kasama na yung pag-ibig sa kapatiran. Kaya pag sinasabi nilang ako ay mananampalataya na, eh ilang ulit ko naranasan yan. Pinangunahan ko sa panalangin, diniktahan, binigyan ko ng katiyakan, at pagkatapos inaasahan kong dumating sa simbahan, wala. Dinalaw ko, nagtago, tinakbuhan ako, ayaw magpakita. Paano mo sasabihin na yan ay mananampalataya? You see, brethren, this is not something which you may say is just here and there, some isolated cases. No, this happens by the thousands. People who are given the assurance and time proves that they have no hunger for God, no love for the Word, no love for the church, and yet the one thing that they retain in their mind is the preacher told them, never doubt your salvation, you are going to heaven when you die. And what happens is, it's either he becomes cynical or hardened in his assurance without the truth. Yan po ang nangyayari sa presumption. Now, sa mga biyaya na tinataglay natin, merong degrees. Hindi natin sinasabi na ganito ka na dapat. Hindi, may paglago yan. So, a believer who is immature may have underdeveloped graces, but he can have assurance, a growing assurance. But the more he grows, the mature believer has growing graces, he will have a settled assurance. Now, God forbid, but let's say, and it happens, that this immature believer declines. A declining believer will have a shaky assurance because he has failing graces. Nanlalamig, tinatabangan, maaaring lumalayo sa mga means of grace. Manlalamig siya, tatabangan siya, at yung kanyang katiyakan, hindi mananatili. Yan po ang problema kapag binigyan mo ng formula assurance sa halit na meron siyang factor to make him doubt so that he would be troubled enough to come back, eh nabigyan na ng formula assurance, kay lumaguyan, kay walayan, at sa kanya yung assurance that he's going to heaven. I know that, I have experienced that, and I have seen that in many. Now, besides these degrees among believers, pwedeng may tinatawag na backslider, kaya rin may problem assurance, hindi ka sigurado sa graces niya. Matakot kayo doon sa mga nagsasabi at napakarami nito. Sinasabi nila, a believer naman ako, backslider lang. Ginagawa nilang pang-assure sa sarili nila na sila ay backslider. Read the Bible. I challenge you to read every occurrence of backsliding, backslider, backslidden in your concordance. And never is there any assurance given to such backsliders. It's always a doubt because their graces, if they profess any, are always dubious. Hindi sila naiiba, externally at least, to unbelievers. Unbelievers are totally without grace. Pero pag pinagtabi mo ang backslider at ang unbeliever, halos walang pagkakaiba. Yan yung nangyari nang i-confess ng psalmist, Psalm 119:176, I have become like a lost sheep. And it can happen to someone who profess faith. At malungkot iyon. At dapat nating tingnan para sa mga tunay na mananampalataya, may sinabi riyan, I won't read the whole passage, but it says there in the last portion, the full assurance of hope until the end so that you may not be sluggish. And why do they have full assurance? Because they have those things that belong to salvation. Yung mga ebidensya na nakabilang sa kaligtasan ay nasa kanila. Alam niyo, ang assurance ay maitutulad natin sa pagtatanim ng halaman o puno. Nagtatanim si magsasakang Ben ng pananim. Siyempre, sa pagtatanim pa lang, pwedeng masaya ka na. At tuwan-tuwa siya. Pero ang katiyakan ay kapag binalikan mo yung tanim, ay makikita mong tumutubo. Kaya yan, masayang-masaya sila nung balikan nila. Just recently, ay may pagtubo. Ganyan yung katiyakan. Hindi lang, paano mo nalaman may itinanim? The best proof as far as the planter is concerned is tumutubo, nagbubunga. And that is what assurance is. Without that, there is no basis of assurance. And brethren, this is one of the biggest problems, I say one of the biggest headaches we have in churches today, evangelical churches, is presumption. And we need to teach them assurance that has the testimony of the Spirit and assurance that has evidences of graces. Any question? Any question or any thoughts you'd like to share? Josiah.
Pastor, na-mention niyo dun sa heart na it is, sa Jeremiah 17:9, that it is deceitful and wicked above all things. So, how are we supposed to treat emotions regarding yung sensitive matters regarding faith and salvation? How are we supposed to treat yung emotion since there are times na parang we have that inner sense of peace? So, are we supposed to treat them with cynicism or we are supposed to be skeptical regarding our emotions, that we should think about them, that they may be devices that can be used by the devil to make us think otherwise.
Okay, thank you. And that is an excellent question. How do we treat emotions? Well, we treat emotions where they should be, in place and in relation to the more vital things. What are the more vital things? Truth. Now, emotion, by the nature of it, ay fluctuating yan. Sometimes high, sometimes low. Sometimes it depends on your physical condition. Sometimes it depends on your circumstances. So, does emotion have a place? Yes, gusto natin ng peace of mind. Ayaw natin ng nababagabag tayo. Pero yan ay dapat fruit of what is more stable. And what is more stable? The truth. Because the truth will not fluctuate with your physical condition or with your circumstances. Kaya kung nakabatay ka sa truth, there is emotion that derives from the truth. Pero, long after the emotion is gone, the truth is still there. Kaya kung nakabatay ka sa truth, kahit mawala yung emotion, nandun yung truth of the gospel merits of Christ, the gospel promises, but then emotion comes, but they come and go. Kasi may emotion na maganda, pero titingnan natin to next week. 1 John chapter 4 also warns against when our heart condemns us. Maganda kung when our heart affirms us. But there are times when 1 John tells us when our heart condemns us, there is someone greater than the heart. So yun ang isang ilagay natin ang emotion sa proper place. May puwang siya, pero only after the more stable issue of truth and the gospel merits of Christ.
Pastor, speaking of the truth, laging meron challenge nowadays about absolute truth. And of course, nandun yung relativism. So how do we address this kind of situation? Ayaw nila ng, I don't believe your absolute truth.
Well, babalik tayo sa kanilang self-contradiction. Pag sinabi nilang there is no absolute truth, they are contradicting themselves because they are making it an absolute truth. Diba, gaya ng agnostic na you can never know and yet they are certain in their knowledge. Or the skeptic, in other words, every system that is anti-Christian will be involved in a self-contradiction. Why do we believe that this is the absolute truth? Because we believe it to be the Word of God. And kung ayaw nilang tanggapin ang Word ng Panginoon, that's their problem. We believe it to be God's Word. And to us, it is settled. And if we find it in God's Word, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So to us, that is absolute truth. And as I have said, our truth is not based on philosophical logic. Our truth is based on history. What God did in history in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yung madalas na challenge ko sa mga nag-challenge ng ganyan ay apart from issues of absolute truth, explain to me Jesus Christ. Other questions? Yes.
Is it possible for one whom you know to be a Christian for a long time and then suddenly he says, instead of saying, I'm born again, he will say, I'm dead again. When the Bible sabi doon, it's better for those who, it's hard for those who were once in the light to come back again to repentance.
Well, you're talking of apostates. Yung apostate ay those who knowingly turn their back to the faith. Iba ito sa doubters, nag-aaninlangan, at titingnan natin yan next week. How do we minister to doubters? Doubt can be a real struggle, even of true believers. However, apostate is one who knowingly turns his back to the faith that he once professed. At yan ang sinasabi ng Hebrews na may kasamang peril because sabi ng 2 Peter 2, it is better not to have known the way of righteousness but than to have known it and then renounce it. Because that condition is worse. Do we meet people like that? Yes, I've met people like those and hindi natin winawala ang pag-asa para sa kanila, pero ang katotohanan ng sinasabi ng Biblia ay mas malala ang kondisyon nila kaysa doon sa mga hindi nakakilala pa ng katotohanan. Other questions? Other thoughts? Baka meron sa inyo nang galing sa larangan ng presumption, false assurance, and how the Lord, or what the Lord has used to bring you to the truth. Glenn.
Pastor, tungkol naman dito sa decisionistic gospel, paano halimbawa nagda-travel ay you want to attend some churches if you are out of Los Baños, if you want to attend some churches, then paano malaman na yung church na yon ay decisionistic siya na makahanap ako ng iba, or do you, may domination bang masabi mo lahat mga Baptist ay masabi mo hindi decisionistic, or Methodist ba ay ganyan, or Pentecostal, paano natin anong tip or ano?
Well, the fact of the matter is that decisionistic evangelism is something that transcends denominations. Hindi ito distinctive lang ng isang particular Baptist church. Many Baptist churches are trafficking in decisionistic evangelism. The same is true with other affiliation. Kaya ang makabubuti ay alamin mo by, let's say, kung marami namang churches ngayon, may website na, at tingnan mo yung kanilang mga basic information, o kung may alam kang taga roon, magtanong ka. But if you happen to attend one and you find out that it is preaching a decisionistic gospel, don't walk out. Be courteous. Be courteous. Let the service go on. And sinabi ko naman kanina, even in decisionistic preaching, there are truths that they proclaim, kaya nga nagagamit pa rin ng Panginoon. So it may be that some truth there will be used for your profit. So we give them courtesy when we happen to sit in such a service. Ian.
Pastor, I was part of those people na yun nga, nag-share ng gospel dati na we tried to present Christ para siyang sales pitch na kapag tinanggap mo ang Panginoon, ang dami mong kumbaga perks na makukuha. And I do not, hindi ko alam yun before, but right now, na-realize ko na ang entry point namin is through their carnal desires din eh. Yung kapag tinanggap mo ang Panginoon, mapupunta ka sa langit, and then andyan yung blessing niya, assurance of prayer and other stuff. And if someone is holding on doon sa ganong assurance na kaya niya tinanggap ang Panginoon dahil upang mapunta siya sa langit and not in hell, should one doubt that kind of should one doubt his salvation?
Well, not necessarily. I always begin with charity. That is, as if I don't know the person and he makes a profession of faith na ako ay Kristiyano, alam ko ako ay kay Kristo, I accept it on the surface. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, love believes all things. In other words, you begin with the step of believing until other evidences come out na magbibilay ng kanyang pinoprofess. But a person who simply accepts, quote-unquote, Christ because he wants to go to heaven, that's not gospel enough. Because the gospel has to do with sin. It has to do with our accountability to the law. At kung ang isang tao gusto lang niyang pumunta sa langit, kaya gusto niya si Kristo, any sinner would like that without repenting of their sin. But again, I will begin with charity, dealing with any professing Christian. Other thoughts? Pero karaniwan nga, yun ang kanilang tinawag ni Ian na sales pitch ay will you go to heaven when you die? Sino bang ayaw pumunta sa langit? If they believe in heaven, if they believe in the afterlife, they would like to go to heaven. And yet, as I've said, that is not gospel enough. Other thoughts? Sino pang galing sa false assurance and what the Lord used to awaken you? O sinong na-convert in spite of a decisionistic evangelism? And we recognize that God can work in that way in spite of a wrong method.
I think I've shared this before, Pastor, na I was a product of decisionism. August 9, 1993 to be exact. And gaya ng binabanggit nyo kanina, meron talagang pwede ma-convert through that method. But through the years, mapalad din ako. I can say that mas nakita ko yung truth, yung deeper truth na sinasabi natin na napaka-importante nga na pag tinanggap mo si Kristo, hindi lang talaga dapat yung langit. Kasi I would admit na yun ang hinagad ko nung tinanggap ko si Kristo. But I can also admit that only in this church that I realized that it's deeper than going to heaven. At yun yung makasama yung presensya ng Panginoon kung pag tinanggap mo si Kristo. So, totoo yun, na napakalaking danger nga na yung decisionism. Pero ako, in my personal opinion, I would never, kasi doon ako nang galing eh. Pinapahalagahan ko pa rin yung mga ano na yon, yung mga pangyayaring yon. And of course, my responsibility is to really pray for those na sana tumuloy yung kanilang pagtanggap sa Panginoon. Though may danger talaga. Kaya inirerespect si mga nakakatanggap ng ganong ano.
Yeah. Yeah, and we should respect even yung mga ganong they sincerely do what they do. We must respect them, give them courtesy, but at the same time we need to challenge the methodology which is creating so much or resulting in so much false conversion. In the last thoughts, John.
Mention nga, Pastor, na mahirap na i-dissuade someone who parang holds to his or her decision as their basis for salvation. But could you give an example of how we may parang point this person to the realization that their decision would not hold water when they come for judgment?
Well, if I were given a chance na, let's say, magkaroon ng Bible study sa mga ganito ang karanasan, I will begin with evidences of true conversion. Ito ang mga evidences. I may give a series of Bible study from 1 John, and of course, begin with the gospel, but then from the gospel, the result of true gospel conversion will have these evidences. And I've had people come to me na they realize the emptiness of their professed conversion because they realize they don't have the evidences. At yun naman ang sinabi rin ng Panginoon, John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Which means, if you are not abiding in his word, you are not true disciples despite your profession. And yet, kagaya ng sinabi ni John, mahirap kumbinsihin ng mga taong yan, kakausapin mo sila, papakita nila sa iyo yung Biblia nila, yung petsa ng kanilang conversion. O ayan, dyan ako na-convert, tinanggap ko ang Panginoon, at dahil tinanggap ko ang Panginoon, hindi niya ako tatanggihan, at yan ang peksa na ako'y tinanggap ng Panginoon. Eh, kahit na sabihin mong, it is not what happened on a date, it is what's continuing in your life. That is the evidence of assurance. So you don't go back to a date, you examine your continuing life. Dyan makikita if the convert is a growing believer, a declining one, a backslider, or a false professor. Carol.
I'll just speak for yun namang evidences of the fruit of growth in graces and the fruit evidences in the fruits na saved. Kasi I, for one, had experienced na the fruits had not really been evident. I mean, because of the sin that had been fallen into, it came to a point then that even the others have doubted the profession of faith. Even me, myself, I came to... Pero, gaya nga po ng sinasabi, kapag talagang true conversion, the pervading truth will really be there. Talaga magiging pervasive yung the steering of the conscience. It might take longer, but yun nga, depende yung decrease of growth in graces. But kung talagang true converted, babalik at nandun pa rin talaga yung evidence. Later on probably, the evidences of the fruit ng conversion will really show and will really be there. And those will really sustain the person and will really make the person to go back. Actually, it's not really going back, pero talagang it's really the spirit who will change the heart of the person and may ipapakita talaga yung need for a savior and the need for the lordship of Christ in your life. So, parang in addition din, Pastor, for us believers na may na-encounter na ganun, let us not stop praying, let us be patient in continuously praying and reaching out to a brother who had been into that. Kasi as long as the person ay buhay, hindi dapat tayo tumigil sa pananalangin at pag-reach out sa kapatid na ganun.
Yes, and it's one of the things we will be discussing next Lord's Day, God willing, ministering to doubters, and some are doubters because of falling into sin. And we're not talking of ordinary sins, but falling into grievous sin. At dito natin makikita why God uses doubt. Kaya pag formula assurance, tinanggal mo na lahat yung dynamic ng doubt. Whereas they should doubt when they fall into grievous sin. They should doubt if they do not return to the Lord. Doon magagamit yung dynamic ng doubt when a Christian falls into sin, and the confession recognizes that. Pero may sinabi ang confession, which we will discuss more next Sunday, that a true believer may fall for a while, but no true believer will totally nor finally fall away. So yung dalawang keywords na yon, they may fall away for a while, but never totally nor finally. And they will find their way back to the Lord when a sinner falls, or a Christian falls. But more of that next Sunday. Meron pa? Well, kung tayo ay pinukaw ng Panginoon mula sa dati nating false assurance or presumption, I can tell you that that is a very profound grace that you should be very thankful for. Imagine the thousands who are nurturing nothing more than a presumption, and they are assured that they are going to heaven, going to eternal life, and yet without basis. Pwede mangyari sa isang Kristiyano na nagda-doubt siya, and yet find himself in glory one day. Whereas a presumptuous man, all the while is comfortable in his assurance, only to wake up in destruction. Madalas kong ma-share sa inyo that the final sin in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, dalawang bangka ang tumatawid sa ilog. Yung ilog ay signifying death. In the first boat was where Christian and hopeful. Hopeful was the picture of a very assured believer. Christian was the picture of a doubting believer, and he had full of fears and doubts as he was crossing the river. And yet, both found themselves in the celestial city, open to them, and they both entered the celestial city. There was a second boat, and the one on the second boat was very comfortable, very full of assurance, no doubt at all. But when he knocked on the door of the celestial city, the certificate of his entry was demanded of him, and he could show nothing. And the name of that character is ignorance. And the last sentence of John Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress, Book 1, sinabi niya, "And I saw that even from the door of the celestial city, there was a way to hell." That's what the presumptuous is faced with. At hindi tayo dapat maubusan ng pagpapasalamat kung pinukaw tayo sa gayon, at huwag din tayong tigil sa pag-asa na makapagbuo tayo ng reformasyon na hamunin natin ang ganitong pagtuturo ng Ebanghelyo. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami nagpapasalamat sa pinag-aralan namin ngayon na tunay nga na isang problema sa aming panahon ng marami nagpapalagay ng kanilang katiyakan, bagamat wala itong tunay na batayan, at nawa Panginoon ay magsikap kami na hamunin ang ganitong mga pagpapalagay, hindi dahil sa kami ay nanghahamak ng aming kapwa, lalo pa ng mga nagaangking Kristiyano, kundi ninanais namin na maranasan nila ang tunay na kaaliwan na hindi galing sa daya ng puso, because the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. It is not for us to depend upon the feelings and emotions of our hearts, but give us, Lord, that more stable basis of assurance, which is the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. At para sa mga nagpapalagay lamang, nawa ay maipakita namin ang mga sangkap na kailangan sa tunay na katiyakan, ang patotoo ng Espiritu na siyang nagpapatotoo sa aming Espiritu na kami nga'y anak ng Diyos, at magkaroon nawa kami ng diwa na kumikilala sa aming Diyos bilang aming Ama. Kasama rin dito, Panginoon, ang mga ebidensya ng biyaya sa aming buhay. May mga ebidensya na kung wala ang mga ito ay magpapatunay lamang ng pagpapalagay na walang laman. Kaya panalangin namin na pagsamahin namin ng ganitong mga sangkap ng katiyakan, gawin mo kaming mga mananampalataya na lumalago sa aming mga biyaya, sa pamamagitan ng paglagong ito ay lalago rin at magtutumibay ang aming katiyakan kay Jesu Kristo. Ngunit alam din namin na kinakasangkapan mo ang pag kakaroon ng pagdududa at pag-aalinlangan kung kami ay napapalayo sa katotohanan at sa kabanalan. Panalangin namin na maging ito ay iyong kasangkapanin at gamitin mo kami sa pagpapatuloy ng reformasyon sa aming bayan na hamunin ang anumang ebanghelyong hindi nakabatay sa katotohanan kay Hesukristo. Naway, bigyan mo kami ng lumalagong katiyakan kay Hesukristo lamang. Panalangin namin ito sa pangalan lamang ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.